So this morning we're going to be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 25, text number 25. This is a famous verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, so we're fortunate to be able to study it today. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So I'll do the word for word. Satam of pure devotees, Vasangat, through the association, Mama, my, Virya, wonderful activities, Samvida, by discussion of, Bhavanti, become Hrit, to the heart, Karna, to the ear, Rasayana, Rasayana, pleasing, Kata, the stories, tat, of that, josanat, by cultivation, asu, quickly, apavarga, of liberation, vartmani, on the path, shraddha, firm faith, rati, attraction, bhakti, devotion, anukramishyati, will follow in order. Satam patangam mamavirya samviro. Bhavanti hrit karana vrishayana kata. Tajjo sanat ashyapa varga vartmani. Shraddha rati bhaktir anukramishyati. Satam pasangam mama virya sambido. Bhavanti hrit karna rusayana kata. Tajo sanad asvapa bharga vartmani. Shraddha ratir bhaktir anukramishyati. Please chant.
Satam prasangam mama virya sambhido.
Translation, purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. In the association of pure devotees, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ear and the heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced on the path of liberation and thereafter is freed and his attraction becomes fixed. Then real devotion and devotional service begin. Purport. The process of advancing in Krishna consciousness and devotional service is described here. The first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and who engage in devotional service. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. There are several very key points made in this purport. So take note as we're reading through this, particularly this last sentence is the first one. Without such association, one cannot make advancement. Simply by theoretical knowledge or study, one cannot make any appreciable advancement. One must give up the association of materialistic persons and seek the association of devotees, because without the association of devotees, one cannot understand the activities of the Lord. That's the second important point. Generally, people are convinced of the impersonal feature of the Absolute Truth. Because they do not associate with devotees, they cannot understand the Absolute Truth can be a person and have personal activities. This is very difficult subject matter, unless one has personal understanding of the Absolute Truth, there is no meaning to devotion. That's the third important point. Service and devotion cannot be offered to anything impersonal. Service must be offered to a person. Non-devotees cannot appreciate Krishna consciousness by reading the Srimad Bhagavatam or any other Vedic literature wherein the activities of the Lord are described. They think these activities are fictional, manufactured stories, because spiritual life is not explained to them in the proper mood. To understand the personal activities of the Lord, one has to seek the association of devotees, and by such association, when one contemplates and tries to understand the transcendental activities of the Lord, the path of liberation is open and one is freed. One who has firm faith in the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes fixed, and his attraction for association with the Lord and his devotees increases. That's the fourth important point. Association with devotees means association with the Lord. The devotee who makes this association develops the consciousness for rendering service to the Lord, and then, being situated in the transcendental position of devotional service, he gradually becomes perfect. And that's the fifth important point in this purport. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Chakshulamitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. So I hope everyone is happy and healthy in Krishna consciousness. And I have a question to ask all of you to begin the class today. Why are we sitting here this morning? Why are we sitting here? Why do we do this every day? We come together and sit to hear the Srimad Bhagavatam. Why? Yes, Chaitanya?
The order of our spiritual master, he's asked us to do this.
The order of our spiritual master. Okay.
To increase our attraction for the Lord.
To increase our attraction for the Lord. Okay. Yeah. To increase our understanding. To hear about the pastimes of the Lord and association of devotees.
Yeah.
start our day off with a spiritual basis to, so the rest of the day can be enlivening. Develop a taste for Krishna consciousness. Yeah, all these are good. Yeah. To become enlightened in the association. Good. Okay, that's pretty good. The reason why I drive here from Alachua every Friday and why I drive to the temple the other days of the week and go to the Bhagavatam class is because I believe that by doing that, by attending the Bhagavatam class in the association of devotees and hearing about Krishna, I believe that that pleases Krishna. That's why I do it. And I think that's why we should all do it. I mean, you all gave varying degrees of answers on that same point, which I would have expected, you know, from all of you, as you are all serious devotees of the Lord. But why we do something is extremely important. It's extremely important. In this purport, Prabhupada talks about people who, even though they read the Srimad Bhagavatam, they cannot understand the activities of the Lord. Or another way of saying that is that they don't believe enough in what they're doing to adopt a path by which they can understand the Supreme Lord. If we don't believe in what we're doing, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam, then why are we gonna do it? We may do it for a few days, a few years, a semester, the time we're at the Krishna house, we may do it. But what's going to keep us doing it after that? What's going to keep us doing it for the rest of our lives? We have to believe in it. We have to believe what we're doing. And I'm not saying that we have to believe in all the wonderful things that are described in Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of the activities of the Lord. But if we are to ever really understand those things and believe those things, then at least we have to believe that the process that we're taking will lead us there. If we ultimately don't have faith in the process, then we won't continue. And I can tell you from my own experience, because I've been doing this a while, one thing I've always tried to do in the practice of devotional service over 40 years now is to attend the Srimad Bhagavatam class every day and to bring my children to the Bhagavatam class every day when they were growing up. When they were growing up, we would take the kids, we still do, although they have their own lives now as they're grown devotees. But we took them to the Bhagavatam class. Now, a 3-4-year-old kid, what do they understand about what's being spoken in a Bhagavatam class? Well, if you think materially, then you'll be like the people described in the purport here. Well, how's it possible for a 3-4-year-old kid to understand the Bhagavatam class? Why are you wasting your time taking them there? But I don't believe that. I believe that just exposing anyone to the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam in an atmosphere of devotees, not an academic atmosphere. As many of you know, Kalakant and I shared a service in the early days of our Krishna consciousness where we would go to the colleges and universities and sell books to the professors. And we would attend conferences of the professors also. And sometimes those professors would get together in the evening for a round of drinks and discuss what they're going to present at the next conference. Oh, Balaram. I think that, you know, I'll present something on Balaram. What does he know about Bhagavatam when he's holding a glass of bourbon and water in his hand? He doesn't know anything. So not that kind of association. Not that kind of exposure to Srimad Bhagavatam, but exposure of anybody to the sound vibration of Srimad Bhagavatam or the discussion of devotees on Srimad Bhagavatam, they will benefit. They'll benefit, as is described in this verse, in many different ways. Satam is one. That's the first word. Eternal. What is the word for word? Satam, of pure devotees. Sat also means eternal. You become eternal. Anyone will become eternal just by hearing this sound vibration on a regular basis. I believe that. And so therefore, I do what's required in my life in all aspects to be able to do that, to regularly hear the Srimad Bhagavatam in the association of devotees. And I can say, based on my own experience, that it works. It does, I can tell you. I've been doing this for 40 years. It works. If you do this, you will make tangible, appreciable advancement in spiritual life. Which ultimately means what? It means to develop your love for Krishna. So I can tell you it happens. And that the reason why this verse is important is because it confirms that it's happened. And I can tell you my experience that it does. It does. So I would advise you, you know, to do that. That's why we're here. And if we have that conviction, we have that belief of why we're here, then other things that we do in devotional service will start to make sense. How we do things, and what our activities will look like, all these things will fall in place as it's described here, anukramishyati. This word is very important. It's the last word in the verse, anukramishyati. Will follow in order. Krama. Krama means step, and anu means follow. So it's a step-by-step process. It's a step-by-step process. And that's an important understanding about devotional service and developing our love for Krishna. It's a gradual step-by-step process. That's one reason why Prabhupada called it a science. That if you, in any science, if you take the steps of an experiment one step at a time, you're successful at a certain level, and you can tell me if I'm correct here. I'm not a scientist. But you take one step of the experiment, and then you're ready to go to the next step, and results follow one after another. You have to follow the formula. If you don't follow the formula, how can you expect to get the results? But because you have faith that this process is a step by step, if you follow it step by step, you'll get the results. I'm telling you, it works. Just like a science works, anukramishyati, step by step. If you ever get a chance to go to Vrindavan, Gopal just came back from there, and I was mentioning when I was talking to the devotees there, one of the, in Prabhupada Samadhi, they have these panels, murals, they're like sculpture out of iron. Has anybody seen them?
Brass reliefs,
exactly, yeah. The brass reliefs. And one of them is entitled Srila Prabhupada, Ambassador from the Spiritual World. And Prabhupada's depicted there, and he's walking. And Prabhupada's taking a step, a very determined step. You know, if you saw Prabhupada's stride, he strided very purposefully. He knew what he was doing when he was walking. He, you know, just by seeing him walk, you could see, well, this man has a purpose in life. He believes in what he's doing. And so that's depicted there. So you should see that and note that, because all the devotees, when they circumambulate Prabhupada in the samadhi, they're also walking in a very determined way. People just don't like casually walk around and stroll around the samadhi. They just walk, you know, very fast doing their circumambulation. It taking that same kind of purposeful stride that Prabhupada took. So this is Anukramishyati, step by step. And it begins with believing in what you're doing. Not what you're doing. It doesn't necessarily begin with what you're doing, but why you're doing it. That's more important. So you should always be clear, why am I doing this? Why am I doing this in devotional service? And not just get caught up in doing the what. Getting caught up in doing the what is what? What does that really represent? What does it mean? It means like, yeah. Yeah, just following rules and regulations for the sake of following them. You know, it means ritual, right? Is there any love in ritual? Devotional service is described in this verse. It says at the end, real devotion and devotional service begin. It means that there's some feeling there. There's some feeling of love there. It's not like a ritual. Ritual, you can do in it. It's basically meaningless, right? Well, and we can actually be engaged in devotional service on a ritualistic platform. Well, this is what we're supposed to do at this point, and then this is what we're supposed to do at the next point without any feeling, without any belief. But if you start with why you're doing it and with a belief and understanding of why you're doing it, then it doesn't become ritual. In the beginning, it might be like that. In the beginning, we might go to Bhagavatam class because that's what we're supposed to do. Or we might do any service because that's what we're supposed to do. But spiritual advancement means that you don't remain on that kind of a platform or a level where you just do it because you're supposed to. You do it because you want to please Krishna, ultimately. And that's the definition that Rupa Goswami gives of devotional service in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. Activity meant to please Krishna. That's what devotional service is. It's meant to please Krishna. It's not a ritual. So we have to move beyond sort of a ritualistic kind of approach. Vrindavan Prabhu is visiting from New Vrindavan here. He was my student at Bhaktivedanta College in Belgium. So I'm seeing him all over the world. Two continents now. We just have to go back to Asia and see you over there. But he's came down here for the 24-hour kirtan next week in Alachua. Now, I spent some time with Madhava Prabhu, who will be coming here for that. And you know, when Madhava chants, he always, what's his famous line that he always says? Right, from the heart. Because that's what he does. He's not asking you to do something ritualistically, chant. He's saying from your heart, chant from your heart, otherwise it just remains a ritual. Srimad Bhagavatam class can be a ritual, chanting Hare Krishna can be a ritual, or it can be an experience of real devotion and devotional service. So I would urge you to try to do that. That's the why. Now, how to do that is what's explained in this verse and what leads up to this verse in Srimad Bhagavatam. So I just want to go over the background a little bit of how this verse came to be spoken. How this verse came to be spoken. This is in a section of Srimad Bhagavatam where Lord Kapila is instructing his mother, Devahuti. Now, the history is a little bit that Devahuti was married to Kardama Muni, and Kardama Muni created an aero palace, and for years they traveled together. But then Kardama Muni ultimately came to the point where I'm leaving. I'm going to leave home now to retake up my practice of spiritual life. But he said, don't worry. You don't have to worry because I'm leaving, because I'll give you a son, Kardama, who is Kapila Dev, who will take care of you. He'll take care of you. So Kapila Dev is taking care of his mother in two ways, taking care of her so she's not alone in this world facing all the difficulties of the world, but also taking care of her spiritual life. And so this is part of the instruction that Kardama Muni is giving to his mother. And that instruction is based on some questions that Devahuti was asking. There are various questions, but ultimately she came to the question of asking, how can one attain perfection? And what she meant by that is, how can one become free from birth and death in this world? How can one reach the goal of life? And what's the best use of one's time? So these are all in her questions to Kapila Dev about how to attain perfection. And so in answer to that question, ultimately Kapila Dev gives this verse, but there are several things that lead up to that. And he starts by saying that how to best use your time, how to attain perfection in life, is to associate with saintly people. To associate with saintly people. That's the best use of your time. So we see that reflected by Prabhupada here in the purport. He talks so much about association. Association with anybody creates a lasting impression in your life. If you associate with materialistic persons, you get a certain result. What kind of result do you get associating with material persons? Does anybody know? Clayton? Right. Material desires just increase, please. And spiritual desires decrease. That's very important. Association of material-minded people is been described by our acharyas as better than associating with material-minded people is to be in a cage with fire. That's better than associating with material-minded people. That's the nature of the soul, is to reflect the association one finds oneself in. So therefore, Kapila Dev says that to associate with saintly people, and those saintly people have certain qualities, and they have certain activities, and those are the things that you want. You want their qualities, and you want their activities. One of the verses leading up to this verse today is also a famous verse, and it talks about those qualities of the great devotees. Let's see here. Here it is. Titikshiva karunika suridam sarvadehinam. You know this verse? Ajata Shatrava Shanta Sarva Sadubhushanam. So the qualities that saintly persons have that we want to get, like if someone has some jewels or something like that, we might think, well, I'd like to get those, you know, let me take them from them. So we try to play like we're friendly with the person, and we create a relationship so that ultimately we can take those jewels. So Sadhu Bhushanam, the jewels of saintly persons that we want to get, and we don't have to, you see, the thing is, we might have to steal them from a materialistic person to get those materialistic qualities or goods that they have. But for a devotee, they're more than willing to give their jewels to us. They're more than willing to do that. But what are those jewels? The symptoms of a sadhu are that he is tolerant, merciful, and friendly to all living entities. He has no enemies. He is peaceful. He abides by the scriptures, and all his characteristics are sublime. So by association, you can get those things. You can get those things. Tolerant, merciful, friendly, having no enemies, peaceful. All characteristics are sublime. Those things are very valuable. We want them. And we should get them. So we have to associate in a proper way with them. Were we talking here last week about types of association? We were talking about, so what type of association do you take with one more advanced than you? Take instructions, serve them. Yeah. Okay. On equal? What type of, so what characterizes association with equals? Make friendship with them. Very important. Make friendship. Revealing one's mind and hearing other persons reveal their minds, right? Okay, and one who may be less advanced than us. How do we associate with them? Show compassion, right? Show compassion. Now, these qualities of saintly people can be found in all three classes of devotees, and we need to look at them. Just because someone may not be as advanced as us in spiritual life doesn't mean that we can't benefit from their association. Yes, we instruct, but that doesn't mean that there's nothing good that we can get. It's just a one-way thing. No, we get an exchange. It's two ways there. So we can benefit greatly from even those less advanced than ourselves. That's the power of association with saintly persons. So what do saintly persons do? These are their qualities. What do they do? What do saintly persons do? Anybody have a, we should know, because it might help us understand that this is actually a saintly person. What do they do? Yes. Yeah, they try to deliver others from the cycle of birth and death. That's what Kapila Dev's doing here with his mother, right? Yeah, so what else do they do? I mean, how do they do that? How do they try to deliver others from the cycle of birth and death? They serve Krishna lunch, right? That's one way. Give them knowledge. Yesterday, Hari Sariprabhu was visiting Alachua, and he described three things that devotees do to benefit others in ISKCON. One is distribute knowledge, distribute books, as Chaitanya said. Prasadam distribution is another. And the third one? Yes. Chant the holy names. Sankirtan, Prasad distribution, and book distribution. These three ways in which we as devotees, trying to be saintly persons, give our association to others. And of course, today's verse describes what saintly persons do also. They sit together and they find pleasure in hearing about Krishna's pastimes. Think about how we try to enjoy things in a material world. What we try to do. We try to find enjoyment in so many ways with the senses. Probably way down on the list is just sitting down and hearing something, right? I mean, of course, we don't want to hear music like that, but we're anxious to go out and use our senses in so many ways to try to find happiness. But the devotees of the Lord, this is the main way they find happiness. Sitting together and hearing about the Lord's activities. And it describes in a verse today, doesn't it? It says that Samvita, by discussion of Bhavanti, become hrit to the heart, karna to the ear, rasayana, pleasing, katha, the stories. Just hearing about the activities of Krishna is so pleasing both to the ear and to the heart that devotees are completely satisfied doing just that. If they get a chance to just to hear That's how they find their enjoyment. This is described in Bhagavad Gita also. Who knows the verse there? It's one of the key core verses of Bhagavad Gita. Yeah. Sushanti cha ramanti cha. Right. The devotees enjoy, and they please each other and find great pleasure just sitting and discussing the activities of the Lord. It's so pleasing. It's a transcendental experience. To be satisfied just doing that, if you can do that, that means you're experiencing transcendental enjoyment. Because, admittedly, it's hard. I mean, who wants to sit down and just hear something and be satisfied? We want to do something, right? We want to do something with the rest of our senses. I mean, music even drives you to do something. Okay, like the music may be pounding, but you got to get up and dance, right? Otherwise, you're not enjoying just sitting hearing it. But that's not a transcendental experience. Transcendental experience just by hearing from saintly persons. So we get their association that way. And devotees of the Lord also speak. And their speaking has a special quality, a special power. Think about Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada came here and he started giving Bhagavad Gita classes, and then they would go out chanting, and he would cook for the devotees. And he would give them an association, just talking to them. And that talking, his talking just wasn't ordinary talking. This is what you have to believe, by the way. I'm talking about why we do something and having to believe what we're doing and what we're doing. This is what we have to believe in. We have to believe that Srila Prabhupada, when he came and he gave these things to us, or he talked or interacted with the devotees, it wasn't just some ordinary thing. It affected us in different ways. It affected our hearts. It changed us. When you hear from a saintly person, his or her words are so powerful that they change your consciousness. They change why you do something. Why do we do something? Well, we could say just because Prabhupada told us this is what we should do. But it's more than that, because Prabhupada, he showed us, and his showing was showing us transcendental activities. We actually had an experience of what it was like to be in the spiritual world, not in this material world. There's a tangible difference. So pure devotees have the power to influence our heart, and that influence is seen by developing an inclination to serve Krishna. Does anybody here have an inclination to serve Krishna? I mean, we should. Chaitanya has an inclination to serve Krishna. I think that's obvious to everyone. We don't have to ask. We know that just by observing she has an inclination. But we should all try to develop this inclination to serve to Krishna. And how is that going to happen? It only happens by association with pure devotees who speak to us in various ways about the Shastras, about Krishna's activities, or even about anything in life. You know, one of the things that really sort of endears Srila Prabhupada to me is how sometimes he would speak about how the British exploited India. Now, in a sense, it's not really a spiritual subject matter, but when he was relaxing with his devotees, he would talk about this. One time we were in Detroit, and Prabhupada was there at that time, and we were all taking rest in our Sankirtan vehicle outside of the temple building. And then we heard a knock on the window. Somebody knocked on the window. It was Prabhupada's servant. And he was calling Satrup Mara. He said, "Satrup, Prabhupada wants to see you." It was in the middle of the night, maybe 10 o'clock or something like that night. He knocked on the door. "Satrup, Prabhupada wants to see you." We all heard that. We thought, oh, wow. So he went to see Prabhupada. And we couldn't sleep. We were just laying there waiting. Wait till he comes back to see what Prabhupada wanted. You know. And he came back. And you know what he told us Prabhupada was talking about? He was talking about the British exploiting India. They were just having a casual conversation about the British and how they did this and that. You know, they cut off the thumbs of the workers so they couldn't spend the cloth and things like that. And just, and then, you know, okay. And Satya Maharaj came back and he told us that Prabhupada was talking about that. Even that, because it's this coming from a pure devotee, it just endears us so much to him that we're inspired. Well, let me do something for this person. Let me do something for Krishna. Let me follow his order. Let me follow his instruction. That's the power of association with a pure devotee. That hearing in that association creates an inclination to serve Krishna. And of course, all of this is in the context, as I said before, anukramishyati, step by step. So this verse has different words, and I'll just run through them quickly because they give the step-by-step process of development that we can experience. So satam is the first word of the verse. It means that that we begin to want what is eternal in service to Krishna. We actually become eternal. We give up our temporary identifications and think of ourselves in terms of our eternal nature. This is important, to give up thinking of ourselves in terms of our material designation. And this is Prabhupada always hammered, you're not the body. Okay, already, we got it, we're not the body. But have we given up the inclination to think of ourselves in terms of the body? The devotees were engaged in activities in so many ways that you could see they didn't think that they were the body. They were doing things that were not humanly possible. Or at least not unless someone firmly believed in what they were doing. So satam is the first word. And then the next one is prasangam. Association with devotees. We have to really become tight in our association with devotees. And that shows that we're advancing. When I was in India this time, I belonged to different management boards, and so we were having a meeting in the Vrindavan Temple Management Board. And there was one devotee there who came to us, and he was full of complaints about the temple president, full of complaints about the temple. He went on and on and on, and we tried to explain this way, that way, you know, and even the temple president had apologized in so many ways. And ultimately, he laid his card on the table. I've lost my faith. I've lost my faith. That was is the only thing he could say to respond to instruction about how association of devotees is important and one should be tolerant and peaceful in the association of devotees. He couldn't do that. I've lost my faith. That was his conclusion. So he was told, well, what can be done? If you lost your faith in the association of devotees, what can be done? Nothing can be done. So we have to be very careful in association of devotees. As this verse in purport explained, it's the key to getting out of the material world, association. So we should always try to be careful about that. Now, next word is rasayana. Rasayana is, in Ayurveda, it's like a medicine. You know, this rasayana is like a medicine. It's life-giving, healing. You know, that's what medicine does. It heals you. It gives you back your life. So rasayana is what it's called in Ayurveda. So rasayana is like the medicine we get in the association of pure devotees. We're diseased persons. We're diseased persons. We're thinking materially. So what's the cure? We have to take the medicine. So rasayana, it gives life. It awakens. The instructions that we get in the association of pure devotees awakens our inner life, the life of the soul. It makes us aware of the soul. And what do we get when the soul awakens? Shraddha is mentioned, faith, rati, attraction, bhakti, devotion. And ultimately we get revelation of our original spiritual identity. All this comes from the Association of Devotees, Anukramashiti, step by step. First we get eternal holy association, prasanga, satam prasanga. Then we get rasayana, we get the medicine that gives us life. We start to blossom as spiritual beings. Then we get shraddha or firm faith. And then we get attraction. We actually become attracted to Krishna. And then we get bhakti or devotion. So these things happen one after another, starting with the Association of Devotees. And I'm here to tell you it works. So, of course, you don't necessarily have to believe me. There may be other people that are more credible than me, more knowledgeable than me, have more devotion than me, so you should listen to them. But I think they'll say the same thing to you. So are there any questions on these subject matters or comments anyone has? Yes.
As devotees, we are all very enthusiastic about hearing and chanting. But still there's this phenomena there that, for entertainment, because everybody needs some entertainment, passive or active, one takes shelter and movies and mundane things. So how can one replace that, this aspect?
Well, Bhagavad Gita would say that one has to get a higher taste. We have taste. We're living beings. We have taste. That cannot be denied. Some people try to deny it, but Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, what will repression accomplish? You repress it here, it pops up over here. So that's not our program. Our program is to get a higher taste. So therefore, we have to strive for that higher taste. We have to seek out that higher taste. I think it describes that here in the first sentence, that we should seek it. Yeah, Prabhupada says, the first point is that one must seek the association of persons who are Krishna conscious and engage in devotional service. So we have to, it's our responsibility to try to seek it out. I mean, yes, we have a taste, and that taste may be for so many mundane things. So what's our responsibility? No, you have to seek out something more. And of course, the devotees are very merciful. So they're constantly creating things which we can seek out that give us the higher taste. We have our Kalyapani in Alachua. He's very much interested in theater. Bhakti Marg Swami, I think, was here just last week or something. He also has a whole Vande initiative for the management of ISKCON worldwide to provide some outlet for our taste for drama, entertainment, things like this. Actually, it's not something that's not part of the soul. Do you know what Krishna used to do in the evenings? Krishna has different pastimes during the course of the day. After he would come back from the pasturing grounds, his mother would bathe him. He would have a meal with Nanda Maharaj. And then you know what they did? There was apparently like a theater or something like that in his house. And there would be like theatrical performances and other performances that they would, all the family and all the residents of Vrindavan would gather, and they would watch these things, you know, for a certain time in the evening before Krishna went to bed. So it's natural that we have these things, these inclinations. We just have to create facilities, transcendental facilities, that give us a higher taste. And if we don't, then maybe we'll be dragged away by lower taste of material world. It ultimately becomes bitter in our mouth. So higher taste is the answer. She's gone, but answer remains the same. Any other questions anyone has? Yes, Chaitanya.
I was hearing Prabhupada speak the other day, and he was talking about ritual, that, if something is just a ritual and there is no result from that ritual of some higher taste, or some, then we will give it up. So you can even see that within religion today, like grandparents, very religious, parents, they still go to church, the kids, they don't even go anymore. Mm-hmm. So it's like you can see if the ritual doesn't actually, you know, create some devotion in the heart. You know, Prabhupada said that's the difference, the idol worship, that's just having no devotion and not sharing that with others. Mm. It just becomes like idol worship.
Yes, very nicely stated. Ritual, we don't want. We want devotion, yes. Well, it's a matter of quality association, quality time. Like we can say we read, but and our reading may not be ritualistic. It may actually be more than that. But can it be more and more absorbing, more entertaining? So it's a matter of degrees. We have to increase, again, anukramishyati, step by step. We have to increase more and more. Better association, more complete association, more deep association, then, you know, gradually, step by step, these things will happen. And I think that this idea of anukramishyati is very important, step by step. We have to have faith that it will come, and we have to execute it. It may take some time. It may take some time. But just because it's taking time doesn't mean we shouldn't have faith or we shouldn't lose faith. We should continue to strive for it. And we get the information from the Bhagavatam, how Krishna, he sort of makes it, he gives us a taste to increase. Like when Dhruva Maharaj, he told Dhruva Maharaj after he appeared before him, you won't see me again. I appeared just to give you a taste so you'll continue your practice. So Krishna does that with all of us as well. He gives us, he'll get, if we want it, Krishna's there, he'll interact with us,
but
you know. Yes, desire is the key. We have to keep, seeking it means to desire it. It doesn't mean going and looking around, you know, it means desiring it. If we desire it, Krishna will bring it to us. That's how anxious Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is for us to become purified. He'll come to us. He'll make it available to us if we have the desires. We have to make our desires strong. Okay. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Yes, people that aren't devotees, they'll never understand Krishna's activities or why his devotees do so many things. Because they're just licking the outside of the bottle, as you said. But we have to go inside, taste the honey. That's what the scholars will never understand. Not all scholars. There is one scholar that's in, he lives in Jatipur right now, which is on Govardhan Hill. He's one of the leading Indologists in America right now. And the devotees met him there. He has a house, apparently, he's staying in. He's doing a study about the devotees seeing God in stone. And so he's studying, like, Govardhan Shila worship and everything like that. But he's actually a devotee. He's in a different sampradaya, but he's a devotee. Maybe he can understand, but others who are just drinking, they'll never understand.